Hello and welcome to another episode of BJ in the Battlecruiser. We haven't probably got time, well, we haven't had time to meet up and go to the pub this week. Got a lot going on, things are just hectic at the moment, people's schedules. It's just trying to find the hours in the day, really, to work around everyone's work life, et cetera, just proving more difficult and difficult. So I thought what I would do is I would just do another little mini podcast, not even a podcast, really, just my rambling, my thoughts on the Invitational, the 18th Invitational Championship, which is being held this Friday at the iconic Isle of Purbeck Golf Club. It's a big one. I've been looking forward to this now for fucking what seems like an eternity. Obviously, we had to postpone it. It was meant to happen in May, and then with all COVID-19, we've had to postpone it. So this has been about 2 years in the making, really. Well, even longer than that. I first thought about Isle of Purbeck as a invitational venue probably around 2016. I thought about it. Always wanted to hold the Invitational, which is our longest and biggest flagship major championship at I always wanted to play at a seaside course or on the sea. I looked into a lot of options. It just didn't quite materialize for the first couple of years, and then I started thinking about it a lot at the end of 2018, and I thought, fuck it, just go for it. So yeah, we put the Invitational in start of 2019, and I just can't wait. This is one I've been looking forward to for fucking years. The course is just going to be amazing. I know a couple of people that have played it. The greatest of all time, Matt Jones, has played it. He has very high things to say about it. He says it's very hard, very difficult, very testing. And Charlie Pearce, I believe, has played it. I think he played it before he scratched my trophy. But yeah, it's going to be a hell of a day. Isle of Purbeck stretches to about 6,000 yards, playing off the yellows. But I think it's going to provide a lot of challenges. I think it's going to be a tough one Friday. I think it's somewhat with playing Stableford. But it's going to be a test, and it's one that I'm looking forward to. I hope it's one that the field are looking forward to. We've got a 23-man field, which, I'll be honest, I'm really pleased about. I thought doing it at Purbeck, it's a bit of a drive, it's a bit of a distance. I thought we might get 14, 15 of, but confirmed. But the members, the tour, yet again showing why we have such a good tour. 23 players confirmed for Purbeck, which is a bit of a drive. It's about 90 miles from me, a bit longer for the boys who live around Staines area. So to get 23, I'm over the moon with. I really am. It's a strong field. I'll go through the field again and tee times and tee groups later, but it's a good 23. But yeah, it's just going to be a hell of a day. The Invitational is the tournament that means the most to me personally as a two-time champion. I just love it. It's the tournament that birthed the PGA Tour, basically, in 2003. Obviously, hosted when I was 13, a long time ago. I hosted the Invitational. It was my birthday kind of party, and it just grew from there. And here we are, 19 years later, 18 years later, and we're playing the 18th edition of the championship at such an iconic course as Isle of Purbeck. It's grown from humble roots, playing at Thamesdale and Esher Golf Club, and places like that, to now. We're playing at places like Isle of Purbeck, and next year we're playing at Hindhead, and it's gone from strength to strength, especially in the last few years. My mouth's a bit dry. We're really taking it to another level with the courses we're playing at, and I just can't wait. I just cannot wait. It's meant to be a bit breezy, a bit rainy on Friday, but I think we'll miss most of the rain. Just cannot wait to be there. I'm going to be travelling down with my dad. He's staying at mine the night before on the sofa, which I'm a bit worried about. I've told him no wanking on the sofa. please, so the rules are clear. But yeah, looking forward to a great day, and just cannot wait. The field, group one, obviously, is the feature group. We've got the amazing Matt Jones, four-time major champion, two-time invitational champion, 2012 and 2018, when he won his titles respectively. Got Tom Biffin, obviously a three-time invitational champion. He's won it in 2004, 2017, and he's obviously the defending champion, so he'll go out first and he'll be hitting the first ball of the tournament. Excited for that. And obviously we've got Mike Arnott, who is going for the Grand Slam, which is just mad. I said at the start of the year, I said it really wouldn't surprise me if someone gets on a roll. The majors are so condensed, the majors are so close together. If someone gets on a roll and they win a couple, you know, we're playing what? We're playing three majors in a six-week stretch. Someone's playing good golf. They're so close together, the momentum is just going to flow to the next event. And that's exactly what Arnie's done, you know. Mike Arnott, a lot's been documented about his, you know, his crazy rise. Started last year, had a very good year last year, was Rookie of the Year. Had a runner-up and a T5 at last year's Invitational. And then he's just, this year he's just found a different gear. He's he won the TPC by three shots at Gatton Manor, difficult day, and he played consistent golf, won. And then obviously he went to Matt's place and he won again. So just mad that he's, you know, he's played fields of TPC at a 30-man field, and the Masters had a 30-man field. So he's, you know, he's beaten 63 golfers. Wait, is my math right there? 34 plus 29. Yeah, he's beaten 63 golfers so far, which is just fucking madness, you know. I think, with all respect, when Jonesy won the Jones Slam, you know, back in the day, the Attitude Era, the fields were a lot smaller, and that's not to take away from anything that Jones did, because he's a great in the game, and he's one of the reasons why the tour has propelled to the level that it's at now. But you have to respect what Mike Arnott's doing, respect that this is history, you know, that's being made. Two majors from two, you know, whatever happens, I think he's one player of the year, and that's an amazing achievement to go from Rookie of the Year to Player of the Year back to back. You know, this is his, he's played five majors and he's won two of them. You know, and he's 8 under par through the two, you know, the two majors so far this year. He's just playing so much golf. You know, every time I look at his Instagram story, he seems to be fucking drinking an Estrella on a different course. He just seems to play every day. I don't know if he, you know, has a job or whatever. I think Popey said he's got a bit of money. I don't know if it's in, you know, but he just seems to always be playing golf. And I think if you want to win back-to-back majors, if you want to be competitive, if you want to challenge the likes of Biffin, Jones, you know, win multiple majors in today's tour where the fields are deep, it's so much more competitive than it was back in the day in terms of depth of field, quality. You have to respect that. Arnie is, he's taken to the tour like water, you know, duck to water. He's put the hard work in, and he's reaped the rewards. Two-time major champion, and he's going for the Grand Slam. You know, when I was doing that feature group, there was a no-brainer. Biffin, Jones, the two greatest golfers of our tour's history, and Arnie's going for the Slam. They had to play together. If Arnie wants to go and win the Grand Slam, then he's going to have to beat the two that have set the standard in PGA Tour history. It's an exciting group. You know, if I wasn't playing, I generally would just watch that. That's fire, you know, through seven major championships. I literally could go on and on and on about the feature group. You know, that's going to be a good one. The second group out, my dad, John Bradley, Dave Casino, and two-time PGA Tour winner, George Pierce. You have to worry about my dad going to Purbeck after he withdrew on the 11th hole at the Masters. He didn't withdraw. He kind of walked in due to heat stroke, severe heat stroke. He was obviously later seen collapsed on the patio. It was worrying signs and worrying seams, I should say, to see him passing out. A medical buggy had to go out and retrieve him from the golf course. He was pulled in after 11 holes. I think a lot's been documented of his age, of his weight. he has to look at himself and say, am I fit physically and mentally to compete in major championships at the age of 64? He's coming on 65 now. You know, and it just seems as though, you know, 2 years ago, 2017, my daddy had an amazing year. Won player of the year, won two, he won the Travellers in the playoffs. He was consistent, he played every, you know, he won twice. He was up there all the time. It just seems as though, and every golfer has it when they get into them older years, them 60s to 70s, that they're just missing that 5% that they used to have. And I hope that's not the case, and I hope he's still got a lot more years playing competitively to whatever handicap he's got. But he has to worry if he can make 18 major championship holes. This is an 18 hole, you know, fuck about stableford with your mates at the weekend where you're playing 5 foot gimmies. This is the BJ Tour, this is major championship. This is the next level. Be interested to see how dad copes. He needs to basically, I think, win or at least have a second to have any chance of qualifying for the playoffs. He's not had a good start to the season. I wish him luck. I hope, if I can't win, which I don't think I will, my dad is always the person I would love to see win a major. I'd love to see it because I know how much it would mean to him. He's playing with John Bradley. John's been a, you know, he's been a nice guy to come on tour this year. An elderly gentleman, around about my dad's age. Seems to love it, seems to get it, seems to get the ethos of the BJ Tour. Pays on time, which is the most important thing for me. You know, but no, he loves it, and I think he's enjoying playing these quality golf courses, mixing it with, you know, a younger age demographic. I'm pleased to have John on board, and he's a good golfer. He's an 8 handicap golfer. It wouldn't surprise me if he done well at Purbeck. I think Purbeck is, and I say this all the time, it's gonna favour a lower handicap. Someone that's consistent. John is that. Can he do it at the BGA in a major? Who knows? We'll see. He's an unknown commodity at major championship level, but we wish him well. Dave Casido, obviously, where do you start with Dave? Colombia's favourite son, you know, the Jesus of Bogota, they call him. He seems to just be grinding hard, you know, and shagging. Shags a lot, sure. Grinds harder, maybe. But he's... Dave is someone that is practicing hard. He seems to post a lot of scores on VPAR where he's playing, you know, these 1,000 yard par 9 hole chip and putts, pitch and putts rather. But he's enthusiastic this year. He's played all 3 majors, which is great to see. I always love having Dave on board. Great guy, besides the cheating. But we wish him luck. Can he do it at a place like Isla Purbeck? No fucking chance. No fucking chance. But I'd be happy. I'd be happy if, you know, he can somehow get a top 15. He has to be happy with that. We wish him luck. Last in that group's George Pierce. George Pierce, you know, I said at the start of the year, he will win a major. He will win a major. And I think it's going to be this year. I did at the start of that. Obviously, he's only got one left. The last 2 years, he's just trending in the right direction. You know, he won the Travellers with Joel Pope 2018. Then 2019, he won the playoffs. So he's trending. You know, he's got 2 titles under his belt, but they're not a major. It's not the major W. He has got the major pedigree. He's got everything. He's got the looks. He's got the swag. He reminds me of Dustin Johnson. Just the way he carries himself. Just doesn't give a fuck. He also did scratch my trophy with Charlie, but... I'm not going into that. I've done a whole podcast about that. I'm done with it. Good luck to George. I think he's got a real chance. You know, I think he played in, I don't know what, the Shithouse Invitational last weekend. And he came, I don't know where. I think he had 33 points of a 13 handicap, which probably got him a T38 because them fucking handicaps were ridiculous. Just looking by the scoring, but I'm not going to go into it, you know. That's how things are done outside of the proper... tour organization. You know, everyone wants to be the BGA Tour, but no one can be the real thing, and that's what we are. Group 3, myself, who else we got? I'm doing this without no notes, by the way. I'm just fucking winging this, all right? Myself, Charlie Pierce, Harry Cripps, and the coach, Adam London. Nice four ball, this, you know. Cripsy had a great Masters at Matt's Place. He came fourth. He surprised a lot of people. Don't think anyone gave him a chance, but it's nice to see him enjoying it. His first year on tour, he seems to be flourishing. Seems to get it. Seems to just get what the BJ Tour's about. Seems to respect its traditions, its history. He's your perfect tour member. Again, pays on time, the number one thing. You know, as long as you pay on time, I don't care if you plough 54. Fuck it. Harry Cripps, nice guy. Do I think he's got a chance of invitation? I'm not sure. But then I didn't think he was going to come fourth at the Masters, and he made a real run for that. He surprised a lot of people. He earned my respect. Charlie Pearce, I've been thinking, is going to win a major for the last 2 years. You know, he had a good shot at last year's Invitational. He was winning after nine holes, and then it just didn't quite materialise on the back nine. But you have to respect Charlie. Apart from him obviously scratching my trophy, you have to respect him. You have to respect him. And of course, who else? Who else is in my group? Charlie Pearce, Cripsy, London. What do I think of London? You know, I don't know. I saw him at the Masters. He looked a little bit worse for wear. His hair looked a bit rugged, a bit shaggy. He looked like he went back to the 2009 Adam London that used to play Middlesex, you know, scored 69 on debut against Gloucestershire. That's what he reminded me to look like. But I don't know. He's only played one major this year. I wouldn't be surprised if London wins off 21. He's someone that I think on his day can pull out the bag, you know. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things, isn't it? He's a good player, but just again a bit unknown in the majors. But good luck to him. Who else we got? Getting through these next. Right, next is the fourth group, which I believe is Adam Hunt, Jack Weeks, Chris Rinne, and George Vincent. Again, Hunt, you know, two-time major champion. He's in the quarterfinals this year's World Match Play. He's someone that... Do I think he'll challenge at Isle of Purbeck? I'm not sure. On his day, Adam's capable of a good round of golf, but... In the majors, the last couple of years, he just hasn't quite had it. He hasn't quite had that thing that, you know, challenges you, gets you off the leaderboard. I don't know. But on his day, of course, you know, you see him post his good rounds on VPAR when they're playing, you know, the Sunday friendly. But again, I've said it so many times, I say it again, it's different on the BJ Tour. He's won the Invitational 2016 And hell, he should have won the 2013 Invitational, but he fucking had an 11th on the 18th hole. That's the Invitational. You know, I won't be surprised if Adam gets the top five. Do I think he's going to win? Personally, no, but Adam's the most competitive person probably on the tour. He won't care what I say. He'll still be confident if he plays well, he can compete. Jack Weeks, I don't know, with Wixie, his game seems to have lost him the last year or so. I don't know if that's a fair assessment, but every time I see him talk about his golf game, he's not really making any good comments about it. I don't know, he's just joined Burr Hill. You know, he's obviously going to be playing a bit more consistently at a really good course. Is that going to improve him? Probably, maybe, who knows? But Jack on his day he's another one. He's got a round of golf in him on his good day. You know, he's an 18 handicap, but he can definitely go around 3-4 under his handicap. Which round Purbeck, I don't know. Can he do it? I'm not sure. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge. You know, it's the Invitational. This is the one. This is the one that everyone wants to win. This is the most pressure, the oldest tournament. Can he do it when it matters? You know, I don't think, and I've said this before on the pod, I don't think Jack Weeks has been the same golfer or man mentally, definitely physically. You know, you look at him now, he's overweight, especially since, you know, his younger years, he's put a bit of weight on. That's probably due to his drinking. He definitely drinks too much, and he'll admit that. And maybe his golf suffered because of his weight gain, because of his alcoholism. Who knows? Do I think Jack's going to win the Invitational? No. But he's been consistent this year. I don't think he's been too bad. And again, he doesn't seem to have played well. So respect to Jack. I wish him well, but I don't think the snake's going to win. Last in the group, Rooney, obviously. Do I think Rooney's going to win? I don't know. You know, Rooney's a 10 handicap. He's a good golfer. Just depends what Rooney you get on the day, doesn't it? Depends if he turns up with about 2 hours sleep, straight off the Brighton and Hove, or whether or not. I don't know with Rooney. I'd love to see him win. He's another Johnny Codd type character, isn't he? Everyone wouldn't mind him winning, but I don't know. Is he going to win? I'd like it. He's a good laugh. He's a good man. He's crazy. He's wild. Ruthless. He's, you know, he's mad. But has he got it takes to win a major? I don't know. I don't know. I said this earlier in the year. I played with him in the World Match Play. He beat me in the first round. Beat me one up, but he was playing really good golf, 13, 14 holes, and then he seemed to fade at the end. You can't fade in a major championship. You can't fade on the back nine at Purbeck. It's going to be demanding. The wind's going to be up. You can't fade. You can't win a major championship by fading and having a few holes off at the end. You can't do it. We wish Rooney luck. Good luck. Fifth group, I believe, is Joel. Wait. Oh, fucking hell. It'd help if I made fucking notes, wouldn't it? Instead of just winging this shit. It'd help, actually, if Jack and fucking Popey didn't just fuck about and actually have more of a social life than me to the point where they can never fucking do a podcast. Fifth group, Joe Parris, Fipsy, James Hunt, and Johnny Codd. Joe Parris, you know, he showed some form, didn't he, Parris, at the Masters. Seems to have, I don't know, something, I think he had a T17 at, let me just get this right in there. He had a T17 at TPC, and he had a T8 at Masters. Trending, sure, momentum, maybe, but he's trending in the right direction. He seems to have got a little bit of confidence back, which is good. Parris is he's a gentleman, he's a nice guy. You know, someone I really respect, family man. So, yeah, you know, can he win? I'm not sure, but he's a major champion. He's a former BGA World number one. He has the pedigree. He's been there, he's done that. And I like Joe Parris, actually. I think he's definitely going to get a top 10. Can he compete? We'll see. Fipsy, Ollie Phipps, making absolute strides this year. You know, he started the season at 28 handicap, you know, and he's just fucking massively improved. It's mad how much he's improved in such a short space of time. It's testament to his grind. It's testament to the practice he puts in. It's amazing, really. It shows you what you can do if you really dedicate yourself to the game. You put the hours in. You know, last year, he was the worst golfer on tour by a mile, and now he's not that. Now he's down to a 20 handicap. It's mad. Fair play to Fipsy. I respect what he's done. You know, he did shoot 51 points off a 26 handicap and then shot 43 off a 22, and he was trying to have a moan that he shouldn't be cut as much. But, you know, that's just... You know, fucking hell. 51 points off a 26 handicap. And then fucking 43 off a 22. You're going to get cut for that, Phipps. I can't stand there. I've got to protect the members. I've got to protect the tour. Fair play to Phippsy, though. Grind, hours put in equals progress. Who else in that group? Johnny Codd. Johnny fucking Codd. You know, saying this every fucking podcast, aren't I? I say, oh, I'd love Johnny to win. I'd love it if he won. I really would. And he just doesn't. He never quite has it, does he? He never quite has it. I'd love it if Johnny won. He's one of my favourite people on tour. He's one of the best golfers on tour. He's got a beautiful swing. Hits the ball a fucking mile when he fucking gets hold of it. I'd love it. I know how much it would mean to him, you know. Greenock's favourite son. Greenock, how the fuck you pronounce that? Some shit-o in Scotland. That's where he's from. You know. Scotland's favourite son. Johnny, he's always one of my people that I think is going to win. And then he always just hovers around the top of the leaderboard, but can never quite get there. You know, he's had a couple of close calls. He's lost in a couple of playoffs, sudden death playoffs. Obviously, TPC 2018, he lost in a playoff. And then obviously the playoffs of 2017, he lost in the sudden death playoffs. I know playoffs wasn't a major, but he's got there he's got close so many times, and he just can't quite get over the line. You know, if I had to pick one person that I would want to win, it would be my dad. But if I had to pick someone that's not my dad or me, it'd be Johnny Codd. I'd love it if he won a major. It'd be great for the tour. You know, I think, you know, it'd be dangerous for Johnny though, because the fucking after party of him winning the Invitational, I think it would be a 5-day bender. You know, it'd be a lot of money spent, and I don't think he'd have he wouldn't have a wink's sleep in the whole 5 days. It would be dangerous for his health. But I'd love it if he got it, you know. Maybe it'd be a good thing, win and go out on a high via an overdose. But fair play, he's an incredible person, lovely person, and he's a great golfer. So I think Pogobek's going to set up well for him, you know, for his style, for his consistent ability. I think Johnny's got a great chance. Obviously, James Hunt is in the fifth group. James Hunt, obviously, we played with each other at Masters at Matt's place, and you know, we had I have to address the, you know, the confrontation me and James Hunt had. It was a ruling that he didn't agree with that I enforced to protect the field, to protect the tour members. James wasn't happy. Obviously, you know, he's passionate. He wants to win. He's competitive. Total respect for that. No hard feelings. You know, he did swear at me. He cursed. We move on. We shook hands like men. You know, James Hunt's actually, he's played in two Invitationals. He's got a really good record. He's come tied second and tied fifth in the two invos he's played. So I don't know, something about the Invitational gets his juices flown. Something about it gets his competitive flow enhanced. You know, I like James Hunt for, you know, a top 10. Wouldn't surprise me if he did better than that. The last group, Joel Pope, Ben Cawthorn, Brett Fowler and Craig Martin. Joel Pope, 2019... Player of the Year, Order of Merit winner, Masters champion. He had an amazing 2019. He really did. You know, he's just been so consistent the last 2 years, and he's coming to this year and he's not as consistent. He's, you know, he's been cut, so it's hard. You know, it's a bit harder for him, and I don't think he's playing as much as what he was before. And he hasn't been as consistent. You know, I think he had a tied 12th for the Masters, so he's, you know, he's coming back to some type of consistency. Top, you know, tied 12 out of 30 players ain't bad. It's better than halfway. But Joel's competitive. Joel likes to win. He's a major champion. Can Joel win at Purbeck? I'm not sure really. Wouldn't surprise me. He's another one that's got an amazing Invitational record. I think in four Invitationals he played, he hasn't come worse than tied fourth. He's had two runner-ups and two tied fourths. You know, he had a real good chance of winning 2016 on his Invitational debut, and he just let it slip a little bit where Adam Hunt capitalised. But I wouldn't be surprised if Joel's up there. He's shown he has what it takes in the past. He's got that major pedigree. He's a major champion for a reason, you know. Brett Fowler, however you fucking say it, hasn't got a particularly good major record. You know, he's in the quarterfinals of the World Match Play. He's very competitive. He takes it very seriously. I'd be surprised if Brett wins. But you never know. I think the heat's not going to be as severe as Match Play's, which is good, because obviously Brett's quite bald. Well, he's very bald. So hasn't got to worry about being burnt on the top of his head. I don't think Brett's going to win, but we'll see. Anyone can win the Invitational, you know. You look at the history, there's been a couple of surprise winners. You know, Matt Simpson, 2007. Fucking Nick Johnson, 2015, RIP. So, every now and again, you get a surprise winner. We haven't had one for a while, though, so I don't think Brett's going to win. No offence, Brett. Who else we got? Ben Cawthorn, major champion, but going for a major He's going through a major transitional period, I think you'd say. You know, he's gone from being so consistent to competing all the time. And then ever since the 2018 playoffs, which he beat me in a sudden death playoff, he's just kind of, you know, lost a lot of weight. We've talked about it. He turned to veganism. And I don't know, he just hasn't seemed to have clicked. But Ben's one of these players, even if he's not playing well, you know he's got a fucking seriously low round in him. You know he has. He's a good golfer on his day. Got natural ability, so never count Ben Crawford now. He's a two-time major champion. And last in that group, Craig Martin. Who have I said in the last group? Craig Martin, Traveller's Champ, knows how to win on tour, but the majors are different. The Invitational's different. The Invitational's the one. It's the Holy Grail, as Biffin said in his pre-tournament interview. So, you know, in conclusion, boys, this is going to be a fucking monumental day in the history of the PGA Tour. You know, this is going to be special. We're going to look at this in 10 years' time. You know, we might never go back to a seaside course. We might not never do anything like this. So let's embrace it. Let's drink it up. No matter how I play, good, bad, fucking shit, I'm probably going to play like a cunt. Doesn't matter. It's going to be a special day. It's a 23-man field. We've got fucking all the big names playing. You know, it feels like a big deal. I think if you win this, this is going to be one for the ages. This is going to be one that you're going to remember. This is going to be one that they're going to talk about in years to come. So on that note, really excited for it. Couldn't be more excited. And, you know, whoever wins, fair fucking play. 23-man field, Friday, Invitational. That's me, the president. I'm out. See you later.